Hello, gorgeous. Welcome to the Brassy Broadcast, a weekly conversation where successful dames from across the music industry dish about the business of music. And honey, this ain't their first time at the rodeo. So take a load off, pour yourself a drink, and join the conversation. Welcome, Brassy Bastion, to episode number 2 of the Brassy Broadcast. I'm your host, Jen Eads, with Super Brassy Broad and trailblazing rock and roller slash empowerer of the next generation, Sharon Rixon, president of Girls Rock Indie. Sharon, welcome to the show.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
And I'm so excited because this conversation is actually going down face-to-face, in person, live from the heartland in the Brassy Broadcast studio. So Sharon, give us a little background. What do our listeners need to know about you?
Ooh, I would love to give some background. Well, I've been a musician for over half my life. I started begging my parents for a guitar when I was, I don't know, maybe about 11 or 12. I was really interested in playing the bass guitar. And after years of pestering and begging and like, come on, I want to be a rock star, Mom. I'm over basketball. I'm over everything else. Like, this is, I just have to be Kurt Cobain.
Right. There's- and knowing your mom, it probably took some work to get Mama Rixon to give in.
Well, I don't have really any other musicians in the family, definitely not in the immediate family. So I can understand a parent being a little hesitant of what the hell would my 11, 12 year old daughter have any kind of interest in, you know, playing rock and roll music.
Right.
But years of pestering paid off. I had an acoustic guitar for my 13th birthday, and it quickly escalated to electric, then to bass, then to singing, everything else in between. It's been an awesome ride, and it's a part, something that's such a part of my life that, you know, like, I don't even have to think twice about it. It's like ingrained.
See, listeners, that persistence pays off. So tell us a little bit more about Girls Rock and Roll Camp.
Ooh, Girls Rock Indie is definitely the best thing that has ever happened to me and a lot of other people.
Me too.
I was gonna say, yeah, and not just the little ones.
Right.
It's a really awesome program that I wish was around when I was young. I think it'd be a whole different ballgame if I knew then as a teen or a younger girl, like, what the deal with music was. And then
right.
I could do it, and here's how to work things. But so what Girls Rock Camp does is empowerment through music. We use music as our tool to teach not only teamwork and musicianship, but also things that correlate a little bit more with topics today, like body image, women in media, international women's rights. Like, what's it like to be a girl or a young woman in 2014? You know, it's a different world than you or I grew up in.
Absolutely.
For sure. So girls come to us with this enthusiasm that they're going to learn an instrument and form a band and write a song and do all the cool creative things that come along with being in a band, like deciding what your band name is, deciding what your logo is going to look like.
Making t-shirts.
Yeah, making t-shirts, selling merch.
Uh-huh.
Some of our campers have even gone on to record full-length albums or perform throughout the year with their camper friends reunited. So that's a really cool aspect of it. But through the music and through the teamwork and the support of our volunteer staff, it's our job to make sure these girls know that they can do anything that they want, that it's okay to mess up and try again, that it's okay to try something new and practice and get better at it. And just because you're not good immediately, it's nothing that can't be cured with a little bit of hard work, elbow grease, and being able to be yourself and not be afraid.
Right.
That's the big thing that I think our girls take away, is that what they say counts.
Uh-huh.
And that they're, you know, prepared to kind of have that kind of energy and attitude even after camp. So what happens at camp is music and workshops and lunchtime performers from real bands that are out gigging and, you know, on the road or studio musicians. So our campers and our volunteers get to see, hey, that could be me one day.
Yes.
So it's really practicing what we preach. And
I think it's huge when we can actually bring somebody in too that's been successful. And you can say, hey, look what they've been able to accomplish through their hard work. You know, it's not that it happens to, you know, just rock stars. It's the people that you see on TV. It's, you know, sometimes it's the people in your own backyard.
For sure.
So we're very lucky to have a lot of talented ladies in the Indianapolis area.
I agree.
Well, and I think you just kind of covered this too, as far as what is typically the big takeaway for the girls after camp week.
Yeah, I think everybody takes away something a little different. Mm-hmm. Some of our girls go on to become musicians, and their passion for playing turns into a band, and they're booking their own gigs and writing their own songs. Other girls take away a better sense of camaraderie with mm-hmm. young ladies. And some girls are introduced to, I don't know, wonderful things like feminism uh-huh. and are able to ask questions and think about their place in the world and kind of be our younger advocates for equal rights.
Absolutely.
What do some other girls take away? I mean, they make friends.
Yeah.
They make friends. And the great thing about rock camp is that we strive to make that environment something fun for everybody. And off the bat, there's no put downs.
Nope.
There's no cliques. We're all here for the same reason. We're united to rock. And it's a cool place where everybody's accepted. And
yes.
We also get a lot of people that, you know, and it's not just girls. Some girls walk in the door and they want to be Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave and they're a little more Joan Jett.
Yeah.
So we have girls like that. We have girls that are, you know, into arts, that find a place that they can use their talents to make the coolest band logo. So everyone gets to kind of find their place and shine in their own way. And everybody's really appreciated at camp.
Yeah.
I think that's a very genuine thing about who we are and what we do. We like you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like for the instructors, and I don't know if you feel the same because you're a rock camp volunteer as well.
Oh, yeah.
Get to our instructor of the year. But I think the adults kind of take away just as much because it's almost like that's my younger self. And if I could have told my younger self this, what would I tell them?
Right. Absolutely. Because I think how great that, you know, not only just to have other people your age playing music, but then you've got other girls playing music, and it's really cool and it's really fun. And it's like you do kind of, I think, as they form these bands, like they become this little tight unit where everybody's hanging out at lunchtime. They're all sitting together. They're talking about what they're calling the band. They're working on the logo. Yeah, it's really one of my favorite things, I think, about camp is seeing the transformation of like the little quiet girl that on day one isn't really saying anything. She's kind of off in the corner. And by Friday, when we're doing the showcase run through, she is up at the front of the stage, just rocking it out like this totally bold, awesome, confident personality.
For sure. I've definitely seen that. I've seen a lot of that, and it makes me very happy.
So after doing Girls Rock Indie Camp for 5 years, what has surprised you the most about camp? And is there anything that's happened that wasn't even on your radar as a possibility?
I think that the biggest thing that I could have never imagined happening is the way that it's really affected the lives of our girls. Some of our campers have been with us every year and have now graduated to becoming junior counselors. So, and I know that what we provide as mentors is a big part of, you know, their influence growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, you're doing something right if you have teenagers that are so excited to come back and volunteer.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to get a 16-year-old excited about you know, anything right. except for graduating. Uh-huh. And our seasoned veteran campers come back because it's the most fun they've ever had. Uh-huh. And they also get to have that feeling of, hey, I remember when someone taught me
right.
how to do this. I would love to teach someone else how to play the drums, or I would love to contribute to a workshop, or even contribute their ideas about how camp should run.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. So seeing something that started as a very grassroots, at a board meeting last night, I was explaining to some new members how it started in my apartment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting lots of mail and having some friends over with, you know, a pizza and a six pack and just right. trying to do mailers all night.
Right.
And now the organization has grown so much that, you know, we have a fully functioning board. And, mm-hmm. you know, if anything, we've got a lot of good problems, a lot of problems right. that are associated with growth. And it's a wild ride.
So
something that started as, you know, a spark, an idea, and just a very organic, you know, no frills community thing is like each year gets a little bit bigger and a little bit better. And the people that come to us and volunteer their time, whether it's to volunteer at camp, donate a lunch for our volunteers, donate gear, it's absolutely humbling to say, wow, all of these other people, you know, whether they're musicians or not, think that this is such a cool and important thing for the girls in their community that they're willing to support us. And that going from, it's a lot easier to sell every year because mm-hmm. you know, people talk, and if the kids are happy and the kids are excited, then the parents are too. And they say, yes. What a cool creative network for my daughter to be a part of.
Uh-huh.
Because when I was a 15-year-old girl, it was impossible to find a band.
Right.
It was either like, you know, a lot of older guys that,
yeah.
you know, wanted uh-huh. to hang out and jam. And you're uh-huh. like, I'm a child. I'm a child, sir. I don't have anything you're looking for. Except for a bass guitar.
Exactly.
And what a cool thing it would have been, you know, to kind of have the experience to not only have the resources,
right.
you know, to, we provide every instrument and every accessory at camp. So if you can't afford your own instrument and you want to try it, camp's a great place for you.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to have that when we were, what, you know, 13, yeah, 14?
Yeah, exactly. It would have been great. I think that's one of the reasons why I get so excited about every year when camp rolls around. And I know that I'm going to be exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I know last year after the first day, I think I came home and fell asleep on the couch at 7 o'clock. And I was out for the night because it's not just rock and roll. It's schlepping gear, and which I think is another good thing for the girls to see how, you know, it's hard work being in a band, but it's awesome.
Yeah, the road's not all swimming pools and pizza parties, kids.
No, not at all. Is there any event or influence that you think maybe was critical in helping get to where you are today as the president of a growing organization like Girls Rock Indy?
You know, the first time I heard about Girls Rock Camp was from a band that I had seen at a local venue. And they were telling me that they had played at a girls rock camp somewhere in the South. And I was like, what is this girls rock camp you speak of?
Uh-huh.
You know, my background, I was just out of Heron School of Art with my degree in art education and was a musician for such a long time, playing in lots of local bands. And I was kind of looking for something like, I'm out of college. Like, what's my next step? Like, uh-huh. what am I interested in? Do I want to go into full-time classroom teaching? Do I want to be a bartender for the rest of my life? Do I want to keep, you know, teaching art and after school uh-huh. programming? And it's like, you know what? I think I need a summer to kind of think about this. And mm-hmm. had some great friends in Seattle. So I just so happened to see that Seattle was hosting their first ever Girls Rock Camp. And I signed up to volunteer.
Cool.
And they were like, you're from Indiana? And we actually really need another bass instructor. Like, you sure? Like, are you serious? You'll come out here. And I'm like, yeah, I've got great friends. It'll be a extended vacation.
Yeah.
So it was a beautiful summer. And after the first day of camp in Seattle, I was like, oh yeah, we have to do this in Indy. I don't know how we're going to do it or who I'm going to, you know, band up with, but
right.
It was just an instant thing. And by the end of the week, seeing how everything went together. I was a bass instructor and coached a band called the Face Melters.
Nice.
Oh, big time. You should have seen their t-shirt. It was like this melting ghoul face. It was
perfect.
The most metal thing I've ever seen a group of 11 and 12 year old girls come up
right.
with. And so
that is awesome.
And just the entire experience of it felt good for me because my passion lies with visual and performing arts and,
right.
and everything that comes along with musicianship. And it was a great thing. And it wasn't this boring, stiff, like, hey, welcome to summer camp, head, right. shoulders, knees, and toes, everybody. You know, here's your fruit snacks.
Right.
Oh, look out for the spiders. It was like,
yeah.
Welcome to the best place on earth, the loudest place on earth.
Yeah.
A place where you can express yourself in a
right.
place where you know, you're not afraid to mess up because you're a girl.
Right.
Because guess what? We're all girls and we all mess up. And that just means we rock.
Yes.
So just it's seeing the showcase and you know, tearing up at the group of girls that I had just met and worked with that had never played in a band, had never played an instrument. And for me to look at them on stage and say, whoa, like, okay, so a bunch of women got together, moved a bunch of gear, did a lot of planning, and this is the result.
Yeah.
Like the ear to ear grins, and the girl that wouldn't sing into a microphone for 2 days, stand on stage and belt it. It's like rock camp miracles are a real thing.
They are.
And they stay with you for forever. Like,
oh yeah.
Like it's those aha feelings in that, like, oh my God, like tingly, this is meaningful, and this
right.
is this has impact, and I wanted it badly for my community,
right?
And for, you know, because guess what, we are broadcasting live from Indianapolis, Indiana, and which has historically not been known to be the most progressive state. You know, you think about other cities that have like the cool programs
right.
or the cool resources for youth and young people. It's, I'm not saying we've got some amazing programs here. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. There's great people doing great things for our youth, but why can't we have a rock and roll camp?
Yeah.
Because we're not Portland or Chicago or New
right.
York or LA. Like, no, we're Indianapolis, and
yeah.
guess what? We rock and our girls rock.
And I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, how that has impacted the music scene here and what that's going to look like and what that's going to sound like. I think that's pretty exciting.
For sure. I can't wait to, I mean, I'm usually the only girl at the Melody and whenever we play, depending on the night, but the last couple of times, I usually don't keep track and I'm like, wow, really? The only girl again?
Oh no.
Not that, you know, not that it matters.
Right.
But I would like to see
more
women in rock. Period. The end.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was about the mentorship of camp and how important that is. Is there a mentor that you've had or somebody that was critical in kind of shaping you either professionally or just as an individual?
Well, it's funny. I mean, everybody. I get a lot of personal inspiration from like my family members. Like I've got the coolest, funniest, strongest mother on the planet and
yes.
the best brother and, you know, a dad that's taught me, you know, amazing things in his amazing ways and, you know, great grandparents. I couldn't be luckier. And just having that and growing up loved and knowing
right.
how lucky I am to come from a family that is awesome and all there, because not a lot of people have that.
True.
So between just having that kind of shape me as someone that's receptive and was shown how to care about your neighbors and your community growing up, I think that was a big influence on being, you know, a rock and roll do-gooder. Right.
That's your new title.
But yeah, rock and roll do-gooder, patron saint of rock.
I love it.
And as far as musically, I mean, it's always the people I play with.
Right.
I mean, it's just as much the songs on the radio that influence you as the people that you actually are in a band with.
Uh-huh.
And the first band that I was ever in that like made it out of the garage, in the coffee houses and stuff, I'm still in to this day.
Uh-huh.
Small Arms Fire. And we've been through the thick and the thin and everything in between. And working with those guys, it was the first band I'd ever played bass in.
Really?
I'd usually played guitar.
Uh-huh.
And kind of like just had a bass.
Right.
And it was the first time I ever was like, oh, wow, we're a 3-piece band. And
yeah.
I'm the bass player. Like, I've got to chop it up. Like,
yeah,
I've got to figure out what's going on.
Right.
And not just follow the rhythm and not just, you know, play the bass like a guitar type
right.
of thing. And working with Mark and Tom, just practicing and learning how to play to complex guitar chords made me a better bass player.
Oh, sure.
Learning how to lock in with a drummer and uh-huh. communicate he and I in our dynamics made me a better bass player. And, you know, always in awe of songwriting and old songs, new songs. It's just good and it's genuine and it's fun. And we formed at a time when I think I was probably 20 years old and we were all at Heron School of Art
uh-huh.
and just we had a ball. We just had a ball. It was like the summer of 69, but like the summer of 2005.
Oh, that's like, great.
Yeah.
I love it. So what superpower is it that you bring to Girls Rock that kind of helps you really make it successful? And how did you develop this said superpower?
I think that my superpower is that I'm a straight up hustler.
Yes.
If I know you, I will find a way for you to help me.
Yeah.
I will find a way to get you involved and
uh-huh.
I will find a way to sell this. I believe a lot of that is cultivated by years, not only in the classroom, but serving and bartending.
Oh, sure.
The connections I made through the networks that I formed as your bartender or as your barista or, you know, whatever hat I wore,
right.
you know, while I'm, you know, on this crazy mission of I'm in a band and I do this and I do that. Like
right.
all the crazy gigs. I make very good use of my connections and I like to make friends. And I mean, that's how Rock Camp started.
Yeah.
It was me connecting with other people and saying, hey, listen to this.
Right.
What do you think about this? Doesn't sound cool. Get excited. Okay. Now help.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
help.
Exactly. Well, and so one of the questions that I normally ask guests is tell us about a time when you had a bold idea or took some brazen action that caused your inner circle to say, girl, have you lost your mind? Was Rock Camp one of those? Or was it more people saying, oh my God, that's like the coolest idea ever?
Mixed reviews. When
yeah.
I told everyone, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, they're like, I hear you're moving to Seattle. I'm like, no, I'm just going out there for like a month
uh-huh.
and I'm going to couch surf and I'm, you know, doing this program. I initially kind of fibbed to my mother. I know. Sorry.
No.
Sorry, Maggie.
Oh, Mama Rickson.
And she's like, well, oh, what's that in Seattle? I said, oh, I got an internship. Because she's like, are you applying to teaching jobs? Are you doing this? And I'm like, oh, I've got this great internship in Seattle. I'm going to be going out there for a little over a month. Crickets.
Right.
Well, what's the internship? Oh, it's a education thing, you know, music related. And I've got friends to stay with. I'll, you know, be gone these dates. And I'm driving out. You're driving out? Not in your Honda Civic. I'm like, no, some friends are going with me. We're renting a car. So it was like explaining the fact that I'm going across the country.
Oh my gosh.
For a summer to my friends and family to like get ideas to spearhead a program. They're like, okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? Tell me another bedtime story.
Right.
Like, you just want to an excuse to drive across the country and take funny photos.
Right.
Which that happened.
Of course.
But it, I mean, it was great. And then it was one of those, I came back and everyone's very excited to see me. And I was like, all right, who's with me?
Yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're doing it. So, I mean, I've ran into a couple of, just a lot of people can't wrap their head around the fact that we, like, this summer had 18 bands.
Yeah, it was huge.
And the fact that you explain that by the end of 5 days of intensive workshops and instruction, that the product is an original song.
Yeah.
People are like, what?
Yeah.
In 5 days? And I'm like, yeah, in 5 days. 9-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Original song, 5 days. You don't believe it? Come to the showcase.
Yeah.
You'll see it with your own two eyes.
Yeah.
And people are blown away. And it's not like every song is, you know, technically the most, you know, sound, and but everything, that what they learn about verse, chorus, song structure, the way to make different sounds with their guitars or their basses, you know, depending on their skill level, and everything in between. It's, yeah, a lot of people don't believe it until they see it.
Right.
So.
Well, and one of the other things that I think is always a takeaway for me from Girls Rock and that I love is there's no excuses. You know, if you can't actually do something, we'll figure a way to work around that. So your hands aren't big enough to, you know, hold down two chords and play a power chord. That's all right. You've still got one finger that you can get on that fretboard and we will make that work. And the girls are like, okay, cool. Works for me.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Like there's no... Well, I've got to do it, you know, this way, because that's the right way. Like, there's no right way at camp. It's just your way, and let's get it done.
Exactly. And then there's the tambourine.
There is. Would you like to elaborate on the tambourine a little bit? Because that's always one of my favorite stories.
I don't know. The way that I saw you, I believe you had a blog post that described
yes.
the tambourine so well, and it just makes me appreciate it that much more. But essentially... No one signs up to play tambourine at
right.
camp. It's not an option. Guitar, bass, drums, and vocals are your options.
Yes.
If you cannot get it together and for some reason are, you know, resisting, maybe not being very team working with your bandmates, and you're not paying attention at practice, we're not going to say, hey, you're out of the band.
Right.
We're going to say, hey, all right, here's the tambourine.
Have at it.
If you're being a stick in the mud, you know what? That's fine. You don't have to play your bass. You don't have to play your guitar. And guess what? You're going to go on stage. You're going to hold that tambourine, whether you wanted to play it or not.
Exactly.
We only had one tambourine player at camp, and I believe she played it very enthusiastically.
You know what? The presentation and the enthusiasm is half the battle.
Exactly.
I think that's in any gig. As long as you can go out and look excited and be present, that
for
is
sure.
half the battle, just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think has been one of the most critical skills that you've acquired in leading an organization like Girls Rock Indy?
I think being able to communicate clearly who we are and what we do and where we're at.
Yes.
Is big to build on my magical power, the art of the hustle.
Yes.
I mean, the partnership, I know a guy, you know, all those things kind of culminate into the perfect storm. We wouldn't be where we are today without, I mean, some people, the idea of public speaking. Sends them into a meltdown, let alone sitting down for an interview or performing in front of a live audience. You know,
right.
My life as a musician has made me an outgoing person. And I mean, for instance, I've been on stage in front of 3,000 people, and then you look up and there's like a 6-foot beach ball coming right at you.
What do you do?
And then you get biffed by it. There's a bunch of drag queens laughing at you,
right.
and you just kind of have to quickly retune your bass
and move on.
And you know, and you don't let them see you sweat.
Yeah.
So if I can get through a moment like that without losing my cool,
right.
You know, like what can't I do?
Exactly.
Who can't I talk to?
Yeah.
What am I afraid of? Nothing.
That is fabulous. That's a great story.
It was, yeah, pride. Actually, we had a camper band. We had a girls rock camper band, and then Neon Love Life, a band I was formerly in, both played, performed at Pride, and it was one of my favorite shows ever.
I'm sure that had to be a blast.
Yeah, I believe the young ladies in No Direction were all around 12 years old.
Yeah,
and I know that their set brought the house down for sure.
I love them. Like, we actually have their CD hanging up on the wall, on the wall of fame.
It's one of my favorites. Check out "She's the Man" by No Direction. You won't be sorry.
Oh, amen to that.
R.I.P. No Direction, broken up, but their singer moved to California.
That's what happens.
I know, right?
I'm ready for the reunion tour. I think there's a lot of people ready for the reunion tour.
So just to illustrate about how excited everybody stays about Girls Rock Camp year round, you know, it happens. We had a Girls Rock event. We just started a partnership with IUPUI's music department, and we had Pamela Z, like a really great demo and lecture. And next to me, our volunteer coordinator's phone goes off in the middle of the lecture. And it was a No Direction song as her ringtone. Did you know that?
I didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah,
no.
It was a you're at a girls rock lecture, and then a girls rock band comes on your phone. It's, yeah. Once you drink our Kool-Aid, you're for a summer, you're in.
Like, absolutely. You're in for life. Yeah, I'm definitely a lifer. So how do you see the organization growing now with the success that we've had with the summer camps and now some hopefully more year-round programming?
For sure. That's what our strategic plan that we've drafted this past year, along with the rest of our board, are focused on. And it's providing more opportunities throughout the year for our girls and volunteers and Yay. Supporters to get together and reconnect and not only see each other and enjoy each other's company, but, you know, go to a lecture, go to a museum, go to an all-ages show, a family-friendly event. You know, so definitely things to keep us more connected. And eventually we hope to be able to do some pilot after-school programming, provide weekend lessons, and, you know, do a little bit more with the resources that we have and keep the spirit of Rock Camp going all year long.
I love it. I'm definitely down for that. Because I know every year as Rock Camp kind of starts to roll around in July, I feel like one of those little kids that gets excited to go off to camp every summer because they get to see their friends that they only get to see during, you know, that week or two of camp.
Yes.
And it's great to have that excitement and, like, yeah, just it's almost like Christmas morning the first day of camp.
It is. It really is. It's like, oh, hey.
Yeah, like I totally get. And I know with some of the campers that I know, even from outside of camp, it's something that they're always looking forward to every year.
For sure. I just love seeing all the Facebook and social media posts. This year, we encouraged camper parents to video their campers opening their acceptance letters.
Oh, nice.
On Facebook and Instagram. So that was fun to watch because we got to actually see the reaction when the girls would open their letters, because we still send snail mail because it's so fun to find out some things. You know, it's fun to get good mail.
Right.
We teach that to our kids.
Yeah.
And see, jump up and down, do cartwheels, and be like, I get to be a singer.
Right.
Like, oh my God, I get to play guitar again. It's awesome.
So now, Sharon, the big question of the night.
Ooh.
What's in your nightstand? What is it that you keep close by, whether it's books or music that inspires you or that you feel like you just can't live without?
Let's see. I always have, I usually have a guitar around me. If I'm traveling out of town for more than a day or two, I just like to bring one.
Yeah.
Whether I play it or not.
I'm the same way.
I usually play it, but I never really want to be without one. I recently started picking up the ukulele, so that's a good fix to like if you're traveling or doing things like that to bring something smaller, more compact. I can't live without my paper calendar. laugh at me, everybody. It's okay. I'm 30 years old. I'm not 90. I have an iPhone, but there's something about me seeing my entire month with all my notes yes. and all my appointments and all my band practices and everything to where, yeah, it helps. If you were to say, Sharon, what do you do next Thursday? I'd be like, I'm pretty sure I'm free, but I'm not saying anything until I put it on the books. It's like being a hairstylist or something where I have to keep, you know, a very, very detailed schedule a lot of the times for sure. So guitar, day planner. I think those are the two big ones.
I think those are pretty critical in your line of work. So I know that you're leaving here to head to band rehearsal. So I very much appreciate you taking some time to stop by this afternoon. So what is it that's revving your creative engines now, and what projects are you working on?
Ooh, right now, aside from Small Arms Fire, I have my first practice tonight for Velvet Underground at Tonic Ball.
Nice.
So I'm going to be playing with three friends that I love musically and I love personally. And I'm so excited to get on stage. And, you know, Tonic Ball is such an amazing event and raises so much money for a very, very worthy cause. It's so cool to see the whole music community come out and band together and do cover songs.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And I'm a big fan of Lou Reed, and I'm so sad that I never got to see him perform before he passed away. He's one of those that it really hit me.
Yeah.
You know? It was just a very sad day. And to be able to play his songs on a stage in front of people that are supporting a very worthy cause is really keeping me excited. And
I'm sure.
Just the prospect of playing new people. I'll be playing with Jesse Lee from Pravada.
Oh, cool.
Charlene Birdsong from White Moms and The Tsunamis, and Vess Ruthenberg of, you know, geez, what band haven't you been in, Vess? So it's fun. It's all kind of, you know, music scene friends that are just going to be able to get together and kind of reinvent some songs and perform them for a good cause. So
what a fun night.
My exciting.
Yeah, that's something to be very excited about. So what is the best way for members of the Brassy Bastion to connect with you and stay up to date on your latest projects?
You know what? I would say definitely check out our Girls Rock social media. Is a great way to stay connected to not only what I'm doing, but all the awesome people in our network, all of our events and, you know, camp announcements. So our website's girlsrockindie.org. We're on Twitter at Girls Rock Indie. We're also on Facebook and Instagram under the same. So
all right,
check us out, and we would love to see you in an event, or, you know, if you're interested in anything rock camp, you know, we've got a place for everybody and are always welcoming new volunteers and sponsors into, you know, we want to see your sweet move.
Yes. Sharon, thank you so much for stopping in today, and I look forward to your return visit.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Jen.
Well, Brassy Bastion, my glass is empty and my head is full. You can swing by brassybroad.com to check out the show notes with links to any websites and resources we mentioned. And if you like what you hear, subscribe and share it with anyone else you think would dig it. That's how we build the community. The conversation continues on the Brassy Broad Facebook page and at Brassy Broad Jen on Twitter. I would love to hear from you. Until next week, be brazen, be bold, and rock on.